Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Welcome back to another episode of 51 Strokes. Today is Tuesday, December 14th, and I am joined, as always, with my man, Caleb Presley. Caleb, before we get to anything, let's talk about our favorite place to do a little bit of indoor golf.
Yep, Avery. This show, our presenting sponsor is Five Iron Golf. Five Iron Golf is an indoor golf facility, top in the country, ranked number one, the alpha, not the omega. It is the cream of the crop. It is the top of the top. It is the peak of the mountain. It is literally the best. And what you do there is you go inside. It's cold outside, it's snowing, winds whipping through the New York City streets, and you're like, dude, if I was just on a sunny island somewhere playing a little bit of par three golf, I would be the happiest man or woman alive. You walk right to Herald Square, or you go to the Financial District, or if you're in some of these other cities, if you're in Baltimore, Washington, D.C., if you're in Chicago, Pittsburgh, you go to a Five Iron Golf. You hop on the simulator, you put in Pebble Beach, you grab a beer, you grab a quesadilla, and you rent some brand new Callaway clubs, because that is who their sponsor is, and you live your dream. And that's what Five Iron's all about. It's the top indoor golf facility in the country. They've been supporting 51 Strokes since, you know, the get-go, literally, and we can't support them enough, and we ask that you join us. I will also say this. If you DM 5-Iron, 5-Iron Golf on Instagram or Twitter, at 5-Iron Golf on Instagram or Twitter, they'll give you $500 off your league team. So they have teams of four that play Monday and Tuesday nights for a seven-week season, rotating courses, formats, drink specials, giveaways, and prizes. I think it's a year-long thing. It doesn't go for the whole year, the season, but like, I think, you know, if you've missed this season, for example, I think that the next season will be coming, you know, during the next season. I think they probably do it four times a year. I'm not positive about that, but I'm fairly certain. So if you want to join this, they will give you $500 off your team, which is obviously, I mean, it's half a rack, dude. So they got nine locations, seven cities: Vegas, DC, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago, and New York. And if you tell them Caleb sent you from 51 Strokes, DM them Twitter or Instagram at 5-Iron Golf, you will get $500 off your league team, which is pretty good. So, I mean, it's more than pretty good. It's damn near amazing.
It's incredible.
So thank you, 5-Iron. Thank you all year as we wind down this year in our final month. Thank you for presenting for us all year. And we appreciate your support, and in return, we will try to support you.
Love it. Caleb, I got bad news to start the show. Dua Lipa has not answered me.
She didn't answer?
No.
What a bitch.
Yeah, I think we're out on her now.
I'm out on her, dude. I'm over her.
Yeah.
Dude, she's too good for you, dude?
I guess so.
Too good for the normal working man?
Yep. She's on to bigger and better things, I guess.
Whatever, dude. I'm out on her. I'm glad she
I don't know if I could live that extravagant lifestyle.
You wouldn't want to.
Nah, traveling all to... She goes to France all the time. Yeah. I can't do that.
Dude, yesterday I played golf with some French people. Rude.
Rude.
No, I'm just kidding. They were thinking I was rude because I wasn't following all the etiquette. I mean, I was, to the best of my knowledge, but I got called out like multiple times because I was like... One time my shadow was in her... And she was speaking French. Also, they're from Canada, but they were speaking French. They're from Quebec. How do you say that? Quebec?
Quebec, I think.
That's where they're from, but it's French Canadian. So they were just speaking French the whole time. And I was like in her line. My shadow was in her putt line one time. So she was speaking French the whole round. Never talked to me except to, in English, tell me your shadow's in my line. What else did she say? I was playing a little country music, playing a little Morgan Wallen in my cart quietly. Like, not like blaring it. Off my phone. Like, how loud can a phone go anyways? Probably halfway volume up in my phone, in my cart. And she's like, I can hear your music. Can you please shut it off? I don't play well with music. It's like, okay. And by the way, we're playing a shitty public course in Florida. Which still, the prices are getting jacked up. Prices are like, it's like $75 just to play public course because it's snowbird season.
Yep.
So that's anyways, tough. These French people, dude. You don't want to go to France with Dua Lipa. There, dude. I've been to France a couple times and I always have had a good time, but we went with Donnie for the World Cup for when Paris played against Spain in the World Cup. I think it was against Spain, but when France was playing in the World Cup, me, Roan, Buddha Ben, and Chef Donnie, who speaks fluent French, went to this World Cup. And we would go to restaurants and they would like give us a menu and seat us somewhere, you know, kind of a shitty seat. You could tell that they were kind of like, didn't. And Chef Donnie, you know, chef. So like, he's like looking into these restaurants. He's like picking ones that have notable food, cuisine, chefs. He wants to experience the best France has to offer, Paris has to offer. So he's picking these spots. They're shitting on us. Soon as he starts speaking French, which he does really well, it's not like broken. It's like very, very fluent French. They have all new respect for us, bring us new menus. We didn't get reseated. We still had to sit in the same spots. But like the way that they treated us with him, he like opened the experience up for us. And I was like, man, you can never go back to France or somewhere that has a disdain for Americans like the French do and not have a French speaker with you. It changed the whole experience.
That's interesting. I could see why that would be an issue.
I didn't even know it was an issue. I mean, no one likes tourists, but like I feel like the French have a real problem with Americans.
You think it's a lot deeper rooted hate over there?
Yeah, I think it's probably goes back. Their parents probably hated Americans. Their parents' parents probably hated Americans. It's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fair.
It is.
A lot of cowardly jokes we've made over the years. Not me, but probably my dad and my grandfathers. I probably made a lot of jokes about the French. And so that's, you know, it's reciprocal. I can't be mad at them, but it is what it is.
How'd you play? You doing all right?
Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, boy.
Terrible.
We're talking like 15 days until the Arizona Bowl.
Terrible. Oh, I'm toast, bro. I'm toast. I played I just can't even explain how bad I played. And like my back was hurting afterwards. That's how you know you haven't played golf in a long time, is when your back starts hurting immediately afterwards. You're like, your muscles aren't ready for it. Because I haven't played like a month. I've been traveling. And my whole plan was like to be in Florida for December to try to really ramp up. But, dude, I've only been here for like 2 days. I have 2 days left before I'm going to be gone for the rest of the month. Not making excuses. I'm just telling you how it is. It sucks. Yeah. It sucks.
It's all right. Dude, we were talking about Canada. I got to tell you about this Netflix special I watched the other day. It might have been the best documentary I've ever seen in my entire life. It's called The Alpinist. It's about this guy who solo climbs, Marc-Andre Leclerc. He's from Canada, and he was doing these like 9,000-foot tall mountains with no ropes, no harness, nothing, just pickaxes. And they got the craziest footage. You know, I'm like a geek for footage because that's all I do, but like, they were getting drone shots of him climbing up and they would back the drone out and it would just look like the most larger than life mountain. And you just see this little speck and he's climbing up with these two pickaxes on ice. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
So it's like Free Solo, but on ice.
Yes.
It's like
so Disney the guy who is in Free Solo is actually a legit solo climber. And he was in this documentary talking about how insane this guy, Marc-Andre Leclerc, is.
Is it on Netflix?
Yes, it's called The Alpinist. I saw Nate wrote a blog on it, and it's really, really, really good.
The blog or the show? or both?
He wrote the blog. No, the blog was just like, hey, this is amazing. You have to watch it. Like, this is like my must watch of the year almost. And I was like, I got to see this. So, and I don't watch Netflix.
Just sent around an email to all the content people at Barstool, being, because I guess he's like running this for the blog, like, submit your best of the year, like what you accomplished this year, or like what you thought your best piece of content was this year, and like I'll consider it to be featured. Which is like, I've done in the past, I don't think I did it last year because I was fed up with it, but I think 2 years ago I like sent some stuff in and I'm like, why am I submitting this to Nate for Nate to just like, Nate is like the Academy Awards, like him by himself is the one deciding what was the best content. But anyways, yeah, he's trying to do a good blog. I'm not trying to hate on him, but I was thinking about for this year, should I just send like one of the, like just the shittiest solo episode of 51 Strokes, just the one that was just like, see if he listens to it.
There was one, I forget what it was, but you just like ran out of things to say. You were like, dude, you even said it. You're like, Avery, you just got to cut here and figure it out because I got nothing.
Yeah. I'll just send that in for best of, and then be like, he doesn't put it in. Be like, dude, did you even listen to it? Did you even listen to all 35 seconds of me rambling?
Yeah.
Dude, but I'm glad that you're healthy. I know a lot of people in the office are getting sick. I was a little sick last week. That's actually why we didn't do the episode last week. I had that. Whatever they are getting, I had as well, because I was down for the count for about 2 days.
Yeah, that was one of my topics. I was wondering how you're feeling, and because I know you had Rough and Rowdy coming up, and I asked you if you wanted to do the show, and you're like, I need to rest up because it's obviously the biggest event of the year. So,
well, it wasn't even just that. I mean, I couldn't have done the show. Like, I had it would bit back. Like, I had a cough, and my throat was hurting, and. But I'm good now. I'm back. I'm 100. It was probably 3 or 4 days. It's just one of those. It's the thing that's weird with COVID. It's like, you know, everyone's obviously been so tentative about COVID that if you just get normal sick, because you got to remember, like, the other colds are still there, and they're coronaviruses. Like, that is what a coronavirus is like a cold.
Yeah.
And so like those are out there as well. And like that's why I was like, I'm sick. And I got tested for COVID because I was like, and I've had COVID, you know? So like, there's no reason why I would have COVID, but I've had COVID and I still was like, I'm sick. I got to get tested. And I didn't have it, but you know, the other colds are still looming. And that's what I think what's taking down a lot of people at Barstool right now. They canceled the holiday party.
They did. I've had it twice. So I kind of have an idea of what it feels like to have it. Not,
you got it's COVID weird. Twice.
Twice. Yeah. The first time wasn't bad.
Positive
second time
test
really
both
bad.
Times?
Yes. And we actually, we have.
How far apart?
You and I.
I was curious about this. How people who have got it twice, how far apart it was?
It was in the middle of the year, but it was like, it was almost like a month and a half apart. Because I remember
I
you and I. Why?
Because it's impossible. I think.
I don't think
But
so.
I don't know shit. But dude, I think that when you have a natural immunity, I don't think a month. I mean, I think a month would be too short. Now I know people's is probably different, but I think a month is probably impossible for any sickness, for your natural.
So I guess it's fair to say maybe I just had a cold, because I know for sure the
you
second
have positive
time,
tests.
Yeah,
both times?
So yeah, maybe the first one was a false positive, and I was just like sick, like I had a cold or something. But
see, I'm starting
second
to think
one,
the first time you didn't even get a positive, and you're just saying it.
I've had three positives. One was after
I've
being
had positives,
with you.
Bro, and I wasn't even sick.
One
I
was
almost
after
had to miss
being
a Rough and Rowdy. Me and Roan, how sketchy is this? Me and Roan, we were doing the Rough and Rowdy like right in the middle of COVID, and so everyone going to the Rough and Rowdy had to get tested. And me and Roan were the only ones traveling at the time because we were doing like college football stuff. So everyone else was like pretty like, you know, quote unquote safe in terms of like their daily schedule. You know, Roan and I had been in airplanes and stuff like that. And so we go to get our tests, and both of us, the day before Rough and Rowdy, both of us were positive. But we were separate. Like, we weren't together. Like, he was doing his thing. I was doing my thing. I hadn't even been around him. I was living in – I don't even know if I was in New York at the time. I was. Both of us were negative. I mean, excuse me. Both of us were positive tests, and we both felt fine. And so I was like, we were just going to have to sit out of Rough and Rowdy. And I was like, dude, like, I feel fine. Like, I'm going to go get another test. So I went to get another test that same day. At a CVS, and it was negative.
It happened with you and I.
What do we do?
Baltimore.
What happened?
Remember we came back from Baltimore and we both got positive tests? Or you got a positive and I got a negative?
That's when it happened. That's what I'm talking about.
After we came back from Baltimore.
Yeah, because I had to go to Rough and Rowdy after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that was that. Yeah, yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah, I was like, I feel fine, but yeah, dude. Anyways, it's crazy. But I am curious about that. I'm definitely not a scientist. I haven't heard of anyone getting it back to back like that. Like you, that would literally be like back-to-back COVIDs. Maybe it's possible. Maybe you had long COVID. Maybe you're making it up. Maybe I should.
I swear I didn't make it up. Yeah, but, come on. We can't be shaming people for making COVID up like that.
No, I'm just kidding. But I just have never heard that. I haven't. But what was I going to say? I think a lot of people at Barstool are getting COVID right now. Yeah. Omicrons.
What's your whole consensus on the COVID thing? Are you just like, because I mean, you're in Florida, so you're just, I'm sure you're free birding it.
I mean, Florida's been free birding it since I've been here. That was last year, over a year ago. I mean, about a year ago, it's been free birding it. So
I'm free birding it too. I just gotta live my life.
I know people who have died from COVID. You know, I had one of my best friend's dads died with COVID. So, you know, I know that it's a real thing, but I also think that, I mean, you see what Florida's doing. Like Florida's the least affected state in the United States right now by COVID. Like you look at the map, it's all red, and then Florida's just green. So, you know, I think maybe the better way of treating it would have been just to kind of let it run its course and try to be safe and smart as you can and use good common sense. And I don't think a lot of people did that, but it is. I mean, I'm not a COVID denier or anything like that.
Yeah,
Definitely affected people and affected some people in a tragic way. But for the most majority of people, you know, it is just a cold.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really, no one's really denying it, especially if you've had it, like, you know, it's real.
And I had
like,
it. I think I might have had it a couple times too. I didn't.
So now you're backtracking. Now you're backpedaling.
Well, not back to back, month to month. Like I had it in March when I had it and I had a positive test. And then, but I kind of had thought, I think I just got a cold last, like I said, I only got one positive test. So I've had multiple colds. So. But that's a cold. A cold's a cold. It still counts. It's still sick. Still feel sorry for me. You can still give me the respect I deserve for being sick.
Oh, it's all about respect. Speaking of respect.
I got sick from getting the vaccine.
Yeah. I can see.
That took me out. I was like day on the couch.
I didn't, but I know a lot of people who did.
Yeah, I was like curled up in a ball. I couldn't move.
So. Dude, let's talk about respect for a second. Rough and Rowdy. It was awesome. I watched the whole thing. It was great. There were some really good storylines that came out of it. That guy, I don't know, it was a booty something, but he's going to fight Bobby Lang now, who's like the Rough and Rowdy guy.
Dude, I think that was a bad choice by him, dude. What an electric entertainer. I like that guy a lot, and he's good for Rough and Rowdy. We need more people like him. We need fighters to realize that we're in the show business, you know? We need you to come out. We need you to put on a display. We need you to win your fight. And we need you to, you know, we're not in the humble business. We're in show business. And I like whenever people come out and they're not afraid to, you know, talk their game. I think he picked the wrong guy, Bobby Lang. If you watch his fight, he wasn't fighting a good fighter right there. Now, he's a big dude. He's an athletic dude. But that wasn't a champion boxer he just knocked out. And Bobby Lang is a champion boxer, and I think he made a bad choice.
Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to go up against the beast. That's like, you know, beating a low tier guy and then asking for the boss. Like,
yeah, and that's who Bobby Lang is the final boss.
I'm excited for that.
He's gonna knock. I mean, he's Bobby Lang will murder that man.
What was your favorite fight of the night? Mine was the two big guys. The paparazzi.
Yeah, I mean, he had a hilarious body. The girl fight came through again, though, dude. I mean, the girl fight was good again.
It was defensive very early, and then it just became a total
the same exact thing.
Fest.
It was a replica. That's what Dave says. Like, it needs a volume three. Oh, the one thing about Rough and Rowdy. So a lot of people, after the fight was over, there was a little back and forth between Rico Bosco and Jeff Nadeau.
Saw that.
And people were everyone's tweeting me like, this is set up, this is fake, blah, 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 blah. Here's what happened. Here's the God's honest truth of what happened. It wasn't fake at all. Me and Ron are sitting there. And throughout the night, our job is to kind of, you know, we interview the fighters coming out, if it was a good fight or if it was, you know, it's an entertaining guy to talk to. And also it's to kind of check in with the main event guys who were Jersey Jerry, Jeff Nadeau, make sure they're doing okay, kind of lead up, keep people and remind people what we're looking forward to later in the night. And then if something crazy pops off, you know, go interview that person. So I had been with Jersey Jerry early and Ron was supposed to be with Jeff Nadeau. Excuse me. That's my little remnants of my fourth Corona. So Jersey Jerry was there, but Jeff Nadeau was not there for some reason in the venue. So Ron had to go with somebody else. So about 10%, 15% into the broadcast, we still need to get to Jeff Nadeau. I said, Ron, what if? And then they wanted me also separately to get with Rico Bosco at some point because he had flew in for the event. So Ron, I told Ron, I was like, dude, when you get Jeff Nadeau, let's set it up. And basically, because how the locker rooms are set up, I was like, what if we set up a shot with you and Jeff Nadeau, and then I'll go tell Rico Bosco that I got to interview him, you know, because he's in the green room. But if you're out in the hallway, and then whenever I hear, because I have the earpiece on, I was like, whenever I hear you start talking to Jeff Nadeau in your interview, I'll bring Rico Bosco out of the locker room. And then we'll basically just put them in the same, like, we'll get the two dogs and put them in the cage. And then we'll just see what happens. Science experiment.
Yeah.
And because Rico Bosco definitely didn't know about it. And Jeff Nadeau definitely didn't know about it. And so then when I brought him, Rico out, he saw Jeff Nadeau and he was kind of like holding back, not doing anything. So I kept on kind of, I had him around my arm around his shoulder. And I was trying to like kind of drag him into the shot to make sure the camera could see behind.
Yeah, you're pulling him further and further.
And so he was like resisting me. And then like he hit like his threshold where he couldn't back down anymore. And soon, I think Jeff Nadeau said something about Rico too. Like, and soon as he heard his name, he just jumped like a dog.
Honestly, one of the greatest moments in my time of looking at Barstool thing. Like, that was the first ever interaction they've ever had.
And I didn't know that either. I had no idea about that. I didn't know that they were going to fight if they saw each other. Marty told me that. He's like, dude, afterwards, he's like, you didn't know that they were going to like fight each other? And I was like, I knew they didn't like each other. I didn't know, one, that they had never been in the same room. And two, I didn't know that they were going to literally assault each other if they saw each other.
So I mean, he was calling him a terrorist.
It was awesome. It was hilarious. And you know why he was calling him a terrorist? I didn't understand. He keeps on doing this joke, Rico Bosco, the whole night. Like, Jeff Nadeau's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. He's on the no-fly list. The reason he was saying that, he had to explain it to me. But once he did, it was really funny. Jeff Nadeau drove, I guess, from New York to West Virginia instead of fly.
Got it.
So all the terrorist jokes and all the no-fly jokes and all that was all about him driving down to West Virginia.
He's an incredible. He's incredible.
That was so funny. But it wasn't fake. I mean, it was set up in terms of like me and Ron like had the plan to get them in the same area. But in terms of what happened, that's as real as it got. Real as it could get.
What was the name of the other girl in the Cherry Bomb fight?
What's Cherry Bomb versus something Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels was putting on her Instagram that it was rigged, that Cherry Bomb's got someone on the committee. Did you see that?
She's wild. The next day in the hotel room, I was checking out and she was sitting in the lobby. And I don't know her from Adam, but I was just like, hey, good fight. And she like just looked at me and didn't say anything.
Like, that's honestly so funny that you guys are like in like the same vicinity as all the fighters and everything.
Oh, afterward, like, dude, after the fight, I was like hanging out with all the guys in the hotel lobby. We were hanging out with, I'm blanking on his name. Anyways, one of our best fighters. He's the guy who beat Midge. What is that guy's name? He wins every time. He's a small person, and he's legitimately would knock my ass out in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I forget his name too.
But him and his squad, and then a bunch of the guys from Rough and Rowdy. Anyways, we were drinking Miller Lights and sitting around talking, and it was fun. Everyone else had to go take the private jet back, but I was driving home to North Carolina, so.
Yeah.
Bro, and then I had the next day, so it was like 5.5 hour drive to my house in North Carolina, and I wanted to go see, had some family in town, so I was going to see them before I came back to Florida. Bro, it poured rain.
Oh.
5.5 hours, I would just like intently watching this yellow line on the side because you couldn't even see in front of you. It was raining so hard. I had to watch the line on the side of the road, which is the trick they always told me to drive in the rain. For probably literally 4 of those hours, I was doing that.
That's a nightmare. For a guy who loves to drive, that's tough.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful drive, too. I was pumped about it. It's through the West Virginia mountains, through Virginia, into North Carolina mountains. Like, that's a nice drive, and I couldn't see a lick of it.
Damn.
And it was had a little tiny hangover from the Miller Lights, just kind of bad.
I love the part of Rough and Rowdy when, like, sometimes Dave will be like, and we go to Caleb, and it ends up being Roan. Like, it's just, like, the miscommunication, like, those are my favorite things, like the Barstool difference that we always say. Like
when we lost power?
Yeah.
I was just so nervous about that, dude, because, you know, we were, 10 minutes into the show? It was one of our biggest shows, like, by the number of people who bought it. It wasn't as big as it didn't even really sniff the Conseco, I don't think. I think it was still pretty far away from Conseco. Right. But it was, other than that, I mean, Dave's public about we usually get around 40,000. This one was, you know, better than that. But when the power went out, I was like, oh my God, this is a disaster. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar disaster if we can't get this back online. Holy shit, dude. I accidentally, I don't know how to use Zoom, dude. Now I'm just looking at my computer screen.
You're there.
I can't see you anymore.
You're good.
I know, but I feel like I'm talking to myself now. I feel like we're going back to the old days of 50.
Look up, go on the bottom of your screens. Look for the Zoom icon.
Oh, yeah. Smart. There you go. Perfect.
All right. I'm back.
Anyways, that was a scary moment because if we wouldn't have come back online, bro, heads would have rolled. Would have rolled because you're going to have to refund all that money. And then then they're not going to let Jersey Jerry and Nadu fight, I don't think, because people want to see it. And so they're going to have to reschedule. I mean, it just would have been, I don't know what would happen, but luckily they got it back online. I think just the power in the truck went out. I don't know if there's anything they could have done about it.
Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. That's a fun thing to do, bro. The Rough and Rowdy is fun. And the next one's in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Dude, I need to talk to you about UFC because I responsibly won a lot of money on our boy Sugar Sean O'Malley. Bro, that was an unbelievable knockout.
All right, let's talk about it after we talk about something that...
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all 4 refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Damn.
Love CBDMD. Love that melatonin mix. Dude, so Sugar Sean O'Malley, I know he's like a big-time fighter. And I don't watch a lot of UFC, card.
Wait. Sorry to interrupt you, but I was reading that CBDMD from my email, that ad.
Yeah.
And I just got a new email, and so I just clicked it open. So you know how I said Nate sent out the email to everyone about to submit your best blog so that he could Academy Awards them himself?
Yep.
White Sox Dave just accidentally replied all. Instead of replying to just Nate, bro, he sent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He submitted 7 pieces of content. So if we don't see White Sox Dave in the mix, we know it's a little... You know, Nate's not running a fair show.
We'll have to come back on
that. And he's leading with the CUSAC. And that's a number, might have been top 5 moment of the year.
Absolutely.
So if that's not in there, then Nate Knight might need to be banned from his judging duties. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just saw that.
No, you're good.
I just wanted the people to know. We keep it real here.
It's important. That's important. That's inside information people won't get anywhere else.
All right, sorry. UFC Sugar Sean O'Malley.
No, Sugar Sean, one of my buddies who's like really big into UFC is like, dude, this guy Sugar Sean, like I've seen him on like Steve Will Do It and Elk stuff, but like I've never watched him actually fight. And he's like, dude, this guy knocks everybody out. He's like a walk-off knockout every time. I'm like, no way. So I'm like, fine, I'll bet whatever, like Sugar Sean O'Malley. I think it was like he's pretty good odds to do it. And second round, he kicks the shit out of this guy. It was the first round still?
First. End of the first round.
End of the first, literally right at the end, right? Because one of my buddies had him to do it in the second round. That's why I was thinking of that. But crazy, like he is just electric.
Bro, so I got into him from Sunday Conversation and I started like doing more research on him because, you know, I was going to have to interview him. And then after I met him, I'm not a USC guy. Like, I like it, but you know, the UFC guys or the MMA guys, that's like, they're really into it. They like talking about all the different, you know.
Right.
You know, freaking specifics of it. I really am new to it, and I watch it from a very outsider point of view. His fight was so fun to watch. And the thing that's cool about UFC to me is that no other sport outside of combat sports could it be over at any moment. Football game, basketball game, hockey, you know, golf. Golf's 18 holes. Football's four quarters. It's everything has, what's hockey, three periods?
Yep.
Everything has an end. So if you're watching it, you know, and you go to the bathroom, well, you can still come back for the end. UFC, you can't take your eyes off the screen because at any moment, that thing could be over. And if you watch that Sugar Sean fight, all he does for the first 3 minutes with that other guy, they're really not fighting at all. They're really feeling each other out. They're kind of dancing around each other, looking for angles, I'm imagining. I mean, I don't really know the sport. It seems to me from my perspective that they're kind of feeling the other one out, seeing how the other one's moving, and just looking for their spots and trying to pick their spots of when they're going to engage in fighting. And then Sugar Sean, at 4 minutes, attacks or gets one good shot in, and then he's like a snake jumping out. Then he's like, this is my moment. 10 seconds later, the fight's over. It goes from them not doing anything to the fight's over. The dude's knocked out cold.
It's crazy when they catch him.
Eyes off it.
Yeah, when they catch him, you know when the fight changes when they catch him with that one punch and then they start going. Yeah. Like you said, like a snake, just like jumps right on him.
Yeah, and then he's like a knockout artist. And I asked Robbie Fox afterwards because, you know, he has a big personality look to him too. So you imagine that the UFC's wanted him to become one of their main stars because he's someone you can sell. And I was thinking, well, you can sell him, but you can't sell him if he's losing fights. So you need him to win if you're Dana White. Are you going to match him up against good fighters who can kick his ass? Or are you going to put him against fights that he's going to win and make his, you know, I think he's lost one. He says he's undefeated. I guess it was like he lost on like a medical or something like that. I don't know. The way he lost, he thinks it was bullshit.
Right.
So he calls himself undefeated. But he's let's call him undefeated for the purpose of the argument. He needs to keep winning. He needs to build his record before you're going to bill him and get that big payday fight. You know, that huge, not that he would fight, excuse me, not that he would fight Conor McGregor, but like that Conor McGregor-esque big name fight. He needs to be like super undefeated and having these huge knockouts. So do you put him against someone who's bad? So I asked Robbie Fox, who's our MMA expert at Barstool. He said that guy was a good fighter. He's like, that was not a match like that. Like he's like, he was favored to win Sugar Sean, but that wasn't like a easy match for him to just go out there. And he said that guy's won like his last three or four fights. So, I'm a big fan. He's the only one I'm a fan of. I don't know anyone else in the UFC. Dustin Poirier, but he lost, right?
Yeah. It seems like Sugar Sean will have like two more cards where he's like maybe like the fourth or the fifth fight, and then he's gonna get his big opportunity. Like someone, because I know that guy Cody wanted to fight him and he got knocked the fuck out.
Who did?
That guy Cody Garbrandt or whatever is like,
well, you know who they were talking about for a fight with Sugar Sean. What Sugar Sean was talking about on the internet.
Who?
Patty the Batty.
No way. That'd be crazy.
It was a while ago, but I saw the clip. It was like he was talking about how Patty was going to have to win a few more fights. He was going to have to win a few more fights. And then that would be a very top build fight because they both get big personalities. And then what do? You know, who do you root for? You got to root for the hometown team. You got to root for Patty the Batty, but also never met Patty the Batty.
Yep.
You know,
he's awesome. Great guy.
You met him?
Yeah. He's been around the office a couple times. Really cool guy. I would probably root for him. I don't have like that Sugar Sean connection level, but it was so cool to watch him. But we got to talk about that. Do you know who the heavyweight guy is? Dana White was talking about him. I got to look up his name.
I didn't watch the whole fight. I just watched Sugar Sean.
No, but he's not. This guy is not fighting until January. He's like the crazy, he might be the greatest ever, like when it comes down to it, because of how powerful he is. His name is Francis Ngannou. Dude, Dana White was talking about like his analytics, like what he can do. His full force punch would be like getting hit over the top of the head with a sledgehammer, full force. Like if I took a sledgehammer and went like this and hit you over the top of the head, that's what his punch would feel like. It's, they said it was like, he has like 96 horsepower of punch.
I don't know how these guys do it, dude.
I would like, who would, I feel ever like, I don't even like
UFC, honestly. I feel like I've listened to so, like, anything I consume podcast wise is either Joe Rogan or Theo Vaughn, Andrew Schultz. I'm trying to think who else was
the first two guys you named were at the at that fight. Do you see Theo?
I know, I saw
next
that.
To David Spade?
Yeah, I saw that. But Tim Dillon doesn't talk about it. But I feel like all these guys have been like, they just like force feed you unconsensual MMA talk. It's like, dude, I can't listen to freaking comedy and you guys are talking about MMA. I don't want to hear it. But now it's like you almost are forced to watch it or else you just have no idea what they're talking about.
Yep. So it was so funny when they showed David Spade. I like did like the Leonardo DiCaprio point from whatever movie that was, but he does the point. And then I was like, that's Theo Vaughn right next to him. But they didn't like put his name under it or anything. But you saw Theo just sitting next to David Spade. It was funny.
That's awesome. There's a funny pair of people right there.
Yeah.
Dude. Also, Rough and Rowdy, I'm just thinking about the combat sports. We had some 51 strokes.
I saw that in the background. Some guy had the 51, the new hoodie.
Yeah, a couple guys had the hoodie. One guy came. He's like, dude, I was listening to 51 strokes the whole way up here. He had drove. He had like made his girlfriend listen to it too, and she was there and she was complaining. It was hilarious. She's like, we had to listen to your show the whole time. But dude, that's awesome. It's cool. He's like, you know what he said?
What he said?
He's like, dude, I'm your best friend. And I was like, what? He's like, I'm your best friend. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I listened to 51 strokes and you said, if we listen to 51 strokes, we're your best friend.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're my best friend. Because if you listen to this show,
yeah,
you're my best friend. Because I don't talk to my best friends as long as I talk to you.
Nope. There
I'm
it
not
is.
I'm a talker, dude. That's the only thing. That's the only thing about having a podcast. I've realized that about myself. I'm not a talker.
Dude, did you see the memes about Nancy Reagan this week?
The throat goat?
Yeah.
I didn't even see him, dude. All I saw was one guy talking about, like, Twitter's wild, Nancy, like, it was Dragonfly Jones, who's one of my favorite people.
He
was
yeah.
Like, he was like, dude, Twitter's wild. One moment you're talking about, you know, whatever, and the next moment you're talking about Nancy Reagan being the throat goat. How did it start?
There was a, I forget who leaked it, but someone said that she was, like, the throat goat in the MGM Grand parking lot or something. But there were some really good memes. Like, our guy Joey Langone had the funniest one, dude. It cracked me up. It was, like, Daniel Jones, because he had like a nerve issue in his neck, and he's like, Daniel Jones goes to see a neck specialist, and then Joey just photoshopped Daniel Jones and Nancy Reagan like together. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Joey Langone's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great. There was one that was like Pete Davidson's getting around, is like him holding Nancy Reagan's hand. Some good memes, dude. This Twitter is an Coley said it best. We were talking to Coley the other day, and Coley's like, Twitter is just like this door. It's just a door, and you just open up the door, and you just don't know what's going to be behind that door every day, and it's just some crazy thing, and like one day, it's like Nancy Reagan, throat goat. Crazy.
Dude, shout out Nancy. Somebody's got to do it.
Shout out
Somebody's
Nancy.
Somebody's got to top these guys.
I was talking about – what's up?
Go ahead.
No, I was talking about Netflix before. And I've been watching this Drive to Survive thing catch up with Formula One, and then I watched the finale. It is honestly one of the greatest sports I've ever seen. I don't know if you've ever
People
watched a Formula One
it.
Race.
I have
it's
watched
it. It's so good.
I have watched it. People are really getting into it. It's going to be – it's definitely the new soccer. You know how all the hipster dudes in the United States were like getting into soccer heavy a couple years ago?
Yeah.
When FIFA got big and then everyone – like the – FIFA video game is the Drive to Survive Netflix show. Yep. It's getting all these guys who like don't have a sport or whatever into that sport, into Formula One. So It's definitely gonna it's gonna be annoying because it's a good cool sport. Definitely probably cooler than soccer. But it is going to be annoying in the coming months, years, especially as F1 coming to Miami next year, watching all these freaking hardos come out of the freaking woodworks acting like they're the biggest fans of Formula One when they've only been watching it for 1 year and they've only watched the Netflix show.
Yeah, it's I don't want to say – that's why I'm like touching on a little bit. I don't want to sound like that. I've just been watching –
I mean, that's you, isn't it?
No, but
face the facts, dude. That's you.
You kind of did describe
face
me.
Face the facts, yeah.
You did describe
no,
me.
No, I'm not trying
well.
To take away your passion. It's okay to.
It's not
okay
even a passion.
Like
I just think it's cool.
It's okay. Then that's fine. I just know there's some people who are going to be like taking it too far.
I get what you're saying. But that.
I just
like,
see them coming. This is the type of situation where that happens.
Are you gatekeeping?
Dude, I can't because I'm not in it. And maybe I'm jealous. Maybe I wish that I was one of those guys. I found the show to not be that exhilarating.
People are gatekeeping Big Cat right now. He's trying to. He was tweeting about it or whatever, and people. Are
Big
like,
Cat
oh,
is
the
some,
first one,
so
you
one of those guys, though. Big Cat is one of those guys I'm describing, but yep. It's not. He's a reverse, though. He's not because he doesn't have a sport or a team. He has so much sporting. His brain is like 98% of it is dedicated to sports.
Yes.
So like he has extra room, even though he takes in so much sports, he's normalized that amount of sports in his life. He's like the frog that you cook it in warm water first and then it's boiling, but it still stays in the pot.
Yep.
Big Cat is like boiling in sports. And he takes in probably more sports than any other person in America, but he's so used to it that he's ready for more sports and he needs that extra. He needs his next fix. He needs a new sport. He's in, think about it. Lacrosse happened. What'd he do?
Jumped on
he
it.
Buy a team.
Yeah.
Basketball in Australia. Bought a team.
Yep.
Like anything that could happen sporting wise. What else is he in? A frisbee, outdoor frisbee, ultimate frisbee.
Frisbee
Big
golf,
Cat's
brawl.
A big ultimate frisbee guy. Yeah. Like that guy loves sports. So he's the opposite of these people who don't have anything. He has it all and he's an insatiable hunger. He's a sports addict. He needs help.
He does need help. Dude,
I hope he gets the help he needs.
Yeah, this last race was crazy. It's very rare, I get apparently, when two guys, Verstappen and Hamilton, are going tied into the final race of the year. So it was cool to see. And then it was like there was controversy and there's beef
that.
In
and
between.
They let the guy come back and start even with Lewis
Hamilton.
Hamilton
had a big gap and someone crashed and then the safety car came out and they were allowing cars to pass. So Hamilton stuck behind the safety car and the people who are behind him are passing him who he's lapped, who are passing him to get back around to behind him. So then Verstappen was able to get behind him. And then because Hamilton took a gamble, there's a difference between like tires, like if you're using softer, hard tires. And he took a gamble. He stayed on the soft tires. So he was completely risking his like ability to turn quicker. And it happened that Verstappen came behind him and was able to maneuver because he pitted and changed into different tires. It was crazy.
Yeah, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I like NASCAR too, honestly. Like
NASCAR's good too. I mean,
NASCAR is you got to be there. You got to really be there. But the cool thing about NASCAR is, and I don't know if F1 might have this too, but you can go to the NASCAR race. And you can wear a headset and hear. It would be like going to a football game and bringing your own radio set and listening to the radio call of the game while you're watching it. Which
that's
I know
cool.
Some people do, but it's almost everyone does it in NASCAR, or at least it's very common. So like you can hear what's going on and you can flip between all the teams talking while you're there. So like I can be in a NASCAR race and I can listen to Jimmy Johnson's pit crew talking to Jimmy Johnson while I'm watching as just a normal fan.
Really? That's
yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Wow.
And I think, you know, that's something that makes it special being there. It's on TV. It's a little hard to really fully grasp. Dude, while we're talking about Netflix and TV, maybe this is our last topic of the day.
Okay.
Succession. Do you watch Succession?
No, I'm trying to catch up with it, though. But I know it's like the greatest show on television.
It is. And it has been for a while. I think since I personally liked Game of Thrones. And I watched it. This Succession is much more in my like ballpark of what I like. up my alley. But I'm not saying Game of Thrones is a bad show, but this is just more what I like. But since Game of Thrones ended, like, this Succession has been the king of TV since Game of Thrones ended, in my opinion. Like, that's been the number one show for the last 4 or 5 years. It's 3 seasons, but I think they took a year off because of COVID. So probably 4 years.
Yeah.
The finale, and I won't ruin it for spoilers since you haven't seen it, but this last season was really, it's just really high quality, good, like, it's just like entertaining, good shit. Like, it's crazy because it used to be movies that would be this good. But it's almost like they can't make a movie anymore that even compares to these good TV shows, because the TV shows are like 10, 12 hours total. You know what I'm saying? Like, this,
yeah.
The Succession was 9 episodes, the season, and they're all a little bit over an hour. So you're looking at really like 10 hours of a movie, basically. And that's just one season out of 3. So, like, how could you possibly get as involved with the characters on a movie as you do with these TV shows? And all the money's going to Netflix and all the money's going to streaming. So all these big time best creatives it seems this way, that they're all going to make these shows like Succession. And like, that's where the premium content is now. I went and watched the new Gucci movie with Lady Gaga. It was good. Like, she did a good job. She did a great job. Adam Driver did a great job. House of Gucci was what it was called. But yeah. And the story just wasn't, I don't know if I would have watched that a couple years ago and like loved it, but like, and it probably not. I don't think it was like the best movie of all time. I think it was the story had its limitations more so than the acting and the execution did, but it just can't compare to something like Succession, which is like now over 30 hours of like this high movie-like quality of these great characters, great writing, great acting. It's crack cocaine right now. Like, it's the 5-iron gulf of entertainment. It's the best. It is the number one. It's the apex predator. Succession and shows like it, but Succession is the best of them, are the apex predator of entertainment right now. And it's interesting because, like, everything's moving to shorter and shorter. TikTok and, you know, that's becoming the number one social media. If it is already the number one social media in my book, like, in terms of relevance. And you know that because you watch Instagram and they're like, even my videos, which are like 3 minutes long or 4 minutes long on Sunday Conversation, they don't even hit the algorithm anymore because Instagram's only promoting these little tiny videos. They want 15 seconds. They want 30 seconds. They want to compete with TikTok because they see the attention spans getting shorter and shorter. And it's just so interesting to watch that happen. And it's simultaneously Succession, which is like, you know, hour long movie quality, cinematic. And I just hope that in the future that stays around. And I don't need it to be movies, and it can even take a different form than this TV shows. I'm sure things will change, but like, it has to stay around that storytelling, like this full arcs and the drama. Like, you can't do that in 10 seconds, 15 seconds. It just cannot be done. And I hope, and if you really think about it, it's really went from being 3 hours to 30 hours for these. Yeah. Stories. So it's like, I hope it gets longer and longer.
My mission for this holiday break is I'm going to watch Succession, catch up with it, because everything I see on the internet about it, people are like, it's unbelievable the way they build characters up. And
the cool thing about Succession is that it's not a show that depends on these crazy twists and turns of the plot and surprises, and like, because those things are good, and I do like it when that a movie has a big twist or something like that. But if you depend on that, then like, you can't keep doing that. Eventually it's like, okay, like, what's really, you can maybe get one or two of those and it's good, but it's like, you can't depend on that like some shows do. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, this is not even realistic. Succession really just, it depends on telling the story of the characters, and it's all about like Succession. This series is about who is going to succeed the father and take over the business. And it's all about that. It's not about like, there's other things happening, but like, they keep their focus on the one thing of who's going to take over the father. It's not about what's happening with the business, because different things are happening to the business, and that's part of the story, but they keep their focus on the characters and, you know, the relationship with the father, which, and it's really good. It's just really good.
Quality. That's awesome. All right. So I'll watch Succession and you got to watch The Alpinist.
I'll definitely, I love anytime you have a movie, any type of recommendation I'm in. Cause I'm always like, when you do get that moment where you have time to watch something, it's such a precious time. And like, I hate wasting it with looking for something or watching something bullshit. So I'll take anything you give me.
I hope you like it.
Yes, sir. And then we'll have another episode this week, right, Abe?
Absolutely.
Do we have an episode for Christmas week?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess we'll find out as we go.
We'll find out as we go. Okay, thank you guys for listening. It's great to see you guys in person. The ones I saw at Rough and Rowdy. It's cool to know that you guys are out there because at the end of the day, this is just me and Avery talking back and forth over Zoom. So it's cool to know that people are listening and keep on keeping on. We'll have another episode for you later this week. So we will see you then.
All right, brother.
See you, bro.